SBS Radio.
Philip, tell us a little bit, what brought you to write this book?
For many years I've had friends saying you have to write a book because of the things I have done and the people that have supported me and helped me, and yet a lot of travel before Machu Picchu. But it was after doing Machu Picchu with Marcos and Choco that I thought, yes, this really is an achievement that probably is something I should share with other people, both in and out of wheelchairs, to show, you know, that it can be done, and how excited I was to actually achieve that as part of my 10-week trip through Central and South America.
What is the main message you would like to share with this book?
Oh, give it a go. Get out there and try. Don't just sit back and take no. I've said to people, school kids, that you cannot enjoy life wrapped in cotton wool. I'm not sure how that translates into Spanish, but it really means get out there and enjoy yourself and take some risks, but still be sensible, but really get out and enjoy life as much as it is possible.
That's a really important message. Considering that in 1978 you had this accident, so what happened back then?
I'd been at the beach in the morning, just with my younger sister, and then my really good friend came down for the rest of the morning and early afternoon for a surf, and I was sitting on the sand, and we decided to go home, so I decided to run down the beach, dive into the water, and get the sand off before going up to the car. And the water got deep, I dived in, but my head hit the bottom, and I broke my neck. And I was floating there face down until one of my friends realised and came and rolled me over and pulled me out. I had just stopped breathing, so I went from there to one hospital that was nearby and then to another major hospital, and I was there for 6 months. So, you know, we all thought my life had come to an end, but I had amazing family and friends to help me get over the shock and the trauma, to keep me positive, and always to let me try anything that I thought I might want to try. Of course, the big driving force and support to that was my mother, and then all my friends stayed with me. Most of my friends stayed with me and supported me to any of the decisions I wanted to do, including university and then travel and then travel some more and then getting a job and then traveling more and more until 33 countries and scuba diving and parasailing and all sorts of things that I never ever thought I would do.
One of the Argentinian guys who is one of your closer friends who went to Machu Picchu with you in 2016, he said that he has never met someone more positive than you. So I would like to know, how do you maintain self-motivation, like when you have a bad or hard day?
Everybody was positive and encouraging to let me do what I wanted to do. And I've never, ever been, I do not ever remember really being depressed, and my life has just turned out to be really full of excitement and enjoyment and yes, some crazy adventures. Through Machu Picchu, we didn't think how they were going to carry me. We didn't think what would happen if I got dropped. We just did it, and you know, we were prepared to be stopped at some point, but we always had a positive attitude that we'll make it work. Somehow we will make it work. Some hotel rooms don't. You know, the bathroom isn't ideal, so we find a way to find a solution to make that work. So if somebody says to me, no, you can't do that, well, usually I just ignore them or ask them why, but more often than not, if I think I can do something, I just go and do it, which was what South America was about. It's what scuba diving was about. It was my very, very first trip to Vanuatu. Never thought I'd go overseas, but a friend of mine said, let's do it. I had confidence in him, and he had confidence that it would be okay, And it was fantastic. We had some problems in the very beginning, but we worked with those and it was great.
I understand you were in the hospital before to go to Machu Picchu.
Yes, in 2014 I had a major heart, and I nearly died. In fact, they had, got to the situation where they had to choose whether to let me live or die. And that was all rectified and I was fine, and then my heart went a bit crazy again. So that's what had me in intensive care in Peru for a couple of days. And then I just said, well, you know, we're still going to do it. And the doctor said, well, if you want to, you can. But gave us a few suggestions. But never said no. My doctor back here said, no, you need to come back and have this procedure. Well, I had the procedure in Peru, and it worked. It was good.
So how important has been your family and your friends in your life?
Very, very, very. My mother was amazing, supporting me through uni, supporting me through getting to work, supporting me in any possible way that... But when I said I was going on holidays for the first time, it was her attitude was, that's great, what do you need me to do to help? And my sisters were the same, and my friends are always encouraging. They're always there for me. We go out. We have a fantastic time together in Sydney. I've been very fortunate. I've got great friends who like most people, you enjoy what your friends enjoy, and they're always encouraging and supportive and interested. And I couldn't do it without my friends, without my family. That is for sure. And the Argentinian guys look after me now. They've all become really, really good friends. They start off as, a stranger from Argentina. But within a month, they know exactly how to look after me. And then, then we're just hanging out together at weekends or having a glass of wine. But without people like that in your life, it becomes pretty boring.
I know. And actually, Emiliano told us that he's not a nurse, but he took the challenge to look after you and he was your care for 6 months. So what are the skills that you look at in someone when you decide or not to allow you to be, your companion and help you in your daily life?
They have to be happy. Well, when it comes to Argentinians, they also have to have some English. They need to be physically fit. And then I suppose the biggest thing is an open mind and a caring attitude. And if they've got all those characteristics, I'm very happy to give them a try.
What would you say to a person who at this moment it's feeling sad or depressed? Tips that would you like to share with them about what they should change or something, how they should look at the life?
First of all, I would ask them if there's something that they really want to do, if they have something like a passion or something they want to do, and maybe encourage them to focus on how that can be done and not why it cannot be done. What do they need? What do they need to get it done? Do they need friends? Do they need a new friend? Do they need to, if it's money, it's a different issue because that's harder. But if you just need someone to help you, to support you, look or advertise. When I met my first Argentinian from an advertisement in Gumtree, I wasn't looking for carers from South America. I was just looking for a carer, and because I needed somebody, and that particular guy was... He worked out so well that he introduced me to his friend and then his friend and then his friend and then his friend. And now I'm up to a crazy number of Argentinians that have been looking after me. And before that, it was Australians. The same way. You have some that don't work out, with the Australians anyway, and some that the majority hopefully do. With me, I'm fortunate that I have a good charge of character. Which really helps if you're looking for a carer or for somebody to help you. You need to how quickly if you think you can rely on that person and if you can trust that person. And for me, it's got to be, you've got to be able to trust them to look after you, trust them to be sensible. Like, I didn't tell my sisters I was going to Machu Picchu. So, and I told very, very few friends, and you've got to be able to trust them that you want to, you know, do something, but you don't want anybody else to know yet. And you'll tell them when you're ready, not when someone else is ready. So having your own privacy and is also is important. But if you're feeling depressed, I think you have to change the mindset to not what can't I do, but what can I do? And that's the big difference, I think.
Philippe, it has been a pleasure to talk to you, to know more a little bit about you. We spoke with Emiliano, who was one of your care, and our people love the story. We received so many comments, and people is asking for the second story, which is to know the other side of this, which is you. So thank you for talking to us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank Choco and Marcos for getting me to the top of Machu Picchu. The other sort of friends that really make life really interesting.
So your book will be ready next year, right?
Sometime next year, and it talks about me before my accident, during the accident, while I was in hospital, and then after the hospital, uni, work, my mother, my father, my sisters, and there's a big chapter on travel, the countries I've been to and the people I've been with. So hopefully, it should be an interesting book if somebody, looking for somebody to publish it for me at the moment.
Do you have a name already for the book, the headline?
I think it will be called My Lucky Break. I was going to call it Long Reef to Machu Picchu because Long Reef is where I broke my neck and Machu Picchu is the highlight. But we decided that sounded like a travel book. But yes, My Lucky Break, because I do say a lot that I have had a very lucky life. And the break is because I broke my neck.
Well, I'm looking forward to read that book. So I hope you can find a publisher soon. And let's keep in touch. So when the book is ready, we are also ready to talk to you and Choco and all everybody who wants to come and join to this conversation.
Thanks, Natalia. SBS.com.au.